Okay, it's day two of DockerCon. This is the Integ Trust podcast again. I'm joined again by Amy Lewis.
Hi, I'm Amy Lewis.
And you are Comms Ninja.
Better known as Comms Ninja.
Very cool. And Julian.
Hi, Julian Wood. Julian _ Wood on the Twitters.
You should be Container Ninja. Never mind.
Yes, Captain Haddock.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so let's crack on. Day two at DockerCon. Julian and I were both at the keynote and we've both been to the same session just that we've come from. Let's just review general feelings about what we felt from the keynote today. You, Julian, go ahead first.
Well, this was, as we were talking yesterday about two of the companies that were presenting, and we were sort of thinking a bit, these aren't really interesting. Not to say they weren't interesting companies, but they weren't, production ready, business critical, making money companies. Today that all changed. The keynote literally started with, today we're talking about Docker in the enterprise. The big focus on security and, the enterprise stuff that they matter. And they had big companies on, a company called, APC. I think that was it.
Everyone? No, not APC. ADG?
Oh, no, ADP.
ADP.
Between
us. Too many TLAs.
Yeah, you know me.
Big enterprise company. I think everybody in America apparently knows them. Something
except
like
Amy.
A sixth of all payroll runs through it. So they, obviously a massive trillions of dollars.
A grown-up company was what we referred to them as earlier.
And their CTO, and he was a funny guy making some comparisons with containers being chicken nuggets, which was interesting.
Yeah.
Go and watch the keynote to see it. But yeah, this was a company that was doing Docker in a big way and going through a lot of the reasons why on their simplification and being able to package things. And this is the contrast from yesterday. This was the grown-up world of Docker.
And Julian, just from the security perspective, right, one of the things that the CTO said while he was up on stage was that they work with some government organizations, the FBI and others, in tracking down criminals and terrorists and people like that. And he said that to say, us as a company, we consider ourselves a high-profile target. And being considered a high-profile target, we take security very seriously. Double whammy there for Docker Inc., I guess, because that really, in my mind, solidified, the fact that containers and the ecosystem and images and things like that can be secured. Proper grown-up company that, looking at the big picture, they would be a security target, rocking it with containers at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And the announcements this morning and what they showed was all around their Docker data center product, which is what companies can purchase for their on-premises versions. And there's the Docker Trusted Registry. Docker Hub is obviously the public for everyone to use. You can create your own one on-premises in your own cloud. And then there's image signing. So you've got the secure end-to-end trust of who's updating and who's managing containers. And then just really simplified workflows that were impressive to see.
So two things really that we said yesterday were we need proper grown-up enterprise companies, right? I think maybe we mentioned security yesterday, I can't remember. But definitely another thing that we mentioned yesterday was how did Docker make money, right?
Yeah.
And there, Upsquare, Central, on stage again, alongside a grown-up company was, we charge you for these services, okay? Docker Data Center being that, the packaged universal control plane, Docker Trusted Registry, all that kind of stuff, the commercially supported engine, you can pay for it. So again, For enterprises, yes, Docker does security, and so does the wider ecosystem as well. Other companies assist there as well. They also do commercial support. If you're an enterprise, you lose sleep at night over things like security and over things like if it goes wrong and if there's a bug, how do I get support? So I think very positive things there. Now, something that I really liked this morning, okay, was the demo on security. They did this live demo on stage. I'm the kind of guy, right, just to set the scene, where I come to conferences and I'm not one of those people that jumps on their feet and starts wooting when, Steve Ballmer comes diving onto stage, developers. I'm the guy, I'm the reserved British guy that sits there and, I'm going to clap when I think something's actually really good and I don't give my claps away for free. Yeah, that's a bit corny. Anyway, kid you not, right, at the end of the security demo, if I had more confidence in myself, I'd have got up on my feet like you do at the theatre at the end and I'd have given it a standing ovation. Now, I think there's a few things in that, right? Yes, I was impressed. But just following on from everything that we said yesterday, it answered all... I sound a bit like a shill here, okay? But it answered most of our questions, right? And I'm an enterprise guy in the, and it really struck a chord with me. The demo was just great.
Well, and I think it raises a couple of questions. One, in a conference like this, you are trying to serve a couple of audiences. You've got the developer audience, you've got the enterprise audience, and from what we talked about yesterday to today, they found a way to structure it to serve both, serve both those audiences and do it well. And I think that can be a criticism of people who are early in their development stage, young in their cycle. And I think the other thing both of you have talked about, and I've heard other people speak of, are the power of the demos themselves, where at some conferences it's a little bit of a tight wire act, and you just wait for the disaster to happen. These demos both proved use cases that you had in your mind and were easy to use. Sometimes the demo underscores how complicated things are, which is the opposite of the impact you want it to have.
The thing is, as well, though, demos actually, they also underscore the fact that the products are real. Mm-hmm. We've got into this, well, I have at least, into this habit of going to a lot of these events and, you know, the fireworks are going off on stage and, you know, people are doing gymnastics and cars are, you know, rockets being set off, all that jazz. And you're like, oh, this is grand. This product looks brilliant. And then you read the small print afterwards and you're like, yeah, general availability 6 to 9 months from now. And you're like, really? Well, the demo is like, the demo puts that to bed, doesn't it? Some of the stuff that was on stage today, yeah, you could see it said this is in beta, right? But at least it was still working, and these are real products.
And the demos predominantly have been live at DockerCon.
Yes.
I mean, that's 4,000 people in the room, and they've been doing these live demos. And they had a great use case for the security one was they discovered that there was a bug which they called, you know, funnily enough, nosebleed, which was one of the layers in a Docker container. And in a very quick way, the developer was able to, with assigned a new layer, update the layer on their laptop, push it up to the Docker Trusted Registry, and then do a rolling upgrade across a whole number of containers running an application in minutes. And it wasn't as though, oh, this is just a small kind of demo. You can really see that in production. And one of the interesting things is, so it's not just about the microservices, but within each container, because you've got different layers, swapping out one of the middle layers to fix this nosebleed bug meant that you didn't need to rewrite your application on the higher levels in this container, swap one container out, roll that update across it, and, you know, in minutes or even if it was in an hour, that's hugely powerful.
Note to listeners, nosebleed is not a genuine vulnerability or threat.
You should be scanning.
It's just made up. Yeah. But the thing is, right, so I used to run a Linux team in my last real job, I'll call it that, okay? And I was there when we had the Shellshock bash bug. And I'm telling you, right, it was very, very hard for us to work out which systems in our estate were and weren't affected by this. So for those listeners who don't get to see the demo, let me just kind of go from start to finish, right? So they had this application deployed, and then somebody from the business came in and said, oh, we've heard that there's, you know, this shocking vulnerability out there, nosebleed. Are we affected by it? So they logged onto their Docker Trusted Registry. So, oh, yeah, look, it's flagged here. One of our images and one of the layers in it is vulnerable. Okay, cool. So they pushed a new updated version of the image that had a fix to the problem, I guess, but they didn't just push it. Like you said, Julian, they signed it before they pushed it so that you're guaranteed to know that who has pushed the images, who they say they are. Then they rolled it out to production. They glossed over the CI/CD pipeline, right? But they pushed it out to production in a nice rolling upgrade. So there were 10 containers in the application, and they said, I tell you what, we'll upgrade 2 containers at a time, and we'll have a 5-minute back-off time in between each. And on the screen, you could see it live there, rolling those containers to the new versions. You know what? Tooling like that, both to see the vulnerabilities and where you're susceptible to attack and what have you, but then to be able to deploy it is somewhere that we haven't been in the past, at least I don't think.
Yeah, no, we definitely haven't seen that ease of use for what could be a particularly complicated enterprise application, multiple containers, multiple images, and to still be able to do a rolling update for one of those images was really good to see.
So aside from the security demo, 2 other interesting things, or maybe it's just one actually, that I picked up on from the keynote this morning, was that HPE had their logo splashed on the big screen, as did Microsoft. In fact, Mark Rozinovich from Microsoft was on stage doing some demos. But the big picture to me was saying that, you know, okay, we had, what was it, ADP was that company? I'm putting you on the spot again, Amy. ADG, ADP. Anyway, we had, ADP, grown-up enterprise company using Docker, okay? Then, you know, a few minutes later, we're seeing that HPE and Microsoft, big grown-up companies in the enterprise space, probably partners to just about every global 1,000, global 500, Fortune 500, partners with all of those companies now partnering with Docker. So if we add that into the fact that the Docker data center product that they were talking about today, which is effectively a commercial bundling, and the emphasis is on commercial there, a commercial bundling of universal control plane, Docker trusted registry, so equivalently, effectively Docker Hub, that you can run on premises in your own environment behind your own firewall or in Microsoft Azure as well. And I think the commercially supported Docker engine. So they've got big partners in HPE and Microsoft, but will sell supported solutions to
and
you.
And that's
as
how
well.
Docker makes money. That's one of the things
we talked about that yesterday. Right. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of good stuff today, I think. So the security stuff was good and we kind of got answered how they're going to make money. You know what? If you're a traditional enterprise and you're looking to deploy containers and stuff, I think it's massively important to see logos like HPE, like Microsoft, and also to be able to buy that commercial support. It really helps you sleep at night if you run a production environment for a traditional enterprise.
Well, I would think before, not just today, but you know, companies would be hopefully aware of Docker, but they would possibly not have even looked at it unless there was a bit of a groundswell of support from developers trying this cool new tool. Mm-hmm. But from the announcements today, I think enterprises are now, it's still very early days. Let's be frank about that. But at least enterprises now know there is a security support framework which they can then, they can build on.
Absolutely. Now let's just touch on Microsoft. So Mark Rozinovich of considerable fame from Microsoft was on the stage today doing yet another live demo. And I like the fact that he had an Azure stack on running on a physical server, I believe it was, by the side of the table where they were doing the demos, which I thought was pretty cool.
That was one crazy demo. First of all, it completely fell apart.
Yeah.
Showing it was completely live, but let me try and remember how this all worked. Yeah, he had a front end web app running in Azure,
yeah,
talking to a SQL server running on Linux in a container,
yeah,
on a server on the stage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right?
And all
that's
right,
the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was amazing. And he literally showed the whole bit. He showed the live debugging again. So literally being able to look inside a running container on your laptop and to be able to see debugging code, fix something, push it all over. But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, this is literally the architect of Azure at DockerCon showing how all the cool toys work.
Now, Julian, you and I have just come out from a session with some guys from General Electric. Let's just say another grown-up traditional enterprise, somebody that makes money, turns a profit. They were doing a presentation on how they're starting to leverage containers within General Electric. And I was quite – so when I looked at the schedule for it, I was like, really, General Electric? I wouldn't naturally put them together with like – I don't want to call it cool, funky technology because I think that does it a disservice really. But cutting-edge technologies, let's just say.
Definitely. I mean, they were talking about 9,000 applications they have. The only thing that was a bit confusing for me was it seemed to be that they've started up this new division, very engineering focused, which is looking at Dockers and container, but very much using the enterprise products. But then GE is also an owner and investor in Pivotal. So I was wondering how they decide what runs on Pivotal with Java. That's obviously a strategic direction for them. Is this shadow IT for containers separate from the rest of the environment? I couldn't work that out. But the point of it was impressive for GE to be able to show the cool stuff they're doing with Docker and how they're doing it in the enterprise. And obviously the reason they are presenting at the conference, the last slide that came up saying, we're hiring.
Yeah.
So they here at DockerCon to also attract some developers who want to play with the cool toys.
And I continue to be impressed. You do see GE's logo appear time to time. It could be a company that, what could be more dull in some ways than who they are? That's the grandpa company, right?
Oh, yeah.
But kudos to them for staying involved, staying forward, staying in all of our minds. We're having this very different conversation than we would be, you know. So kudos to them for staying on top of it and using it as a recruiting opportunity.
That's agreed, yeah. You know, what would be interesting as well would be to come back to DockerCon in a year's time and see if they're still up there on stage and to maybe get an update on where their journey is with Docker and with containers. Because I guess we all appreciate that things can go wrong, but if they were still using containers and were further down their Docker journey, I would love, from a, you know, the perspective of a guy who's got a heritage working in the enterprise and who has a vested interest in, not vested interest, but I keep a keen eye on how Docker is being adopted within the enterprise. I'd love to see those guys come back. In fact, I might see if I can talk to some of the people that arranged things here and say, you know what, you need to do that. I
think get a proper update. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be a great series. Why don't you take that on Integrity and Trust?
I don't really want to say challenge accepted because it's the kind of thing that I'd totally forget, but never mind. You know what? Let's wrap the podcast. I want to keep these a bit short. I do have a question for both of you, right? I want to know that if you were paying to attend DockerCon yourselves, okay, you've both been to this event, right? Would you come back again? I'm going to ask you first, Amy.
So obviously I think of it from event marketing perspective, and I will say, any event marketer listening or any conference attendee listening, there is so much verbiage. There's so much blood, sweat, and tears devoted to what one puts on their booth, and then nobody ever reads it. I called multiple people actually reading. They're like, hold on a second before you introduce yourself.
Before you scan my badge.
Before you scan. Not even that. People are very open. Believe it or not, they're like, hang on, I want to have the conversation, but I'm going to read everything first. So from an event marketing perspective, you don't want to miss an opportunity for such an engaged audience who's curious, who wants to learn, who wants to have a conversation. That's just valuable because it may be prospects and it may be simply that you learn more about your own company and where you sit in the marketplace. So absolutely valuable.
That's also a good point you're making about traditional infrastructure IT companies are here at DockerCon with booths, but to also learn from the conversations that people are having with them about the kind of things that their future customers running containers are going to need.
Absolutely.
So often at these events, I probably shouldn't say this actually, but I get on the floor, the show floor, and it's like head down, blinkers on. I just want to get past the booth sometimes. It's like, please, I don't want to talk to you. And I don't see much of that here actually. Anyway, never mind. Julian, would you come again?
Definitely. I appreciate that conferences are expensive to attend and it's time out and some people need to take time off work. But I think this containers and Docker is going to be such a universal thing that it's definitely worth people at least having a look at it. And a conference like this, it's still more small. It's still manageable. The sessions are very evenly balanced, that it's not a marketing mouthpiece from Docker. It's real companies presenting. The guy from Microsoft yesterday, even though that's the big old company, I mean, he was a cool developer.
Yeah.
Just talking literally from the heart and honestly about some of the issues Microsoft has had in porting Docker to Windows. And so, yeah, having those connections and still talking to people in this new kind of thing, I've really enjoyed being here.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for being on the podcast, guys. I very much appreciate your input. Let's just remind everybody who you are and where you can be found.
I am Comms Ninja, or Amy Lewis, better known as Comms Ninja, and also a Geek Whisperer.
Cool.
I'm Julian Wood, Julian_Wood on the Twitters, and wooditwork.com on the blogs.
Cool. And again, I am Nigel.